Hi, this is Josh Burke, the Executive Director of the Bethlehem Area Public Library. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Stacks, the library podcast, where we like to feature interesting things going on at the library, as well as interviews with special guests. So today, visiting me here is Colleen Warmingham, who is a professional organizer and the owner of Minimologist LLC. Colleen will be joining us at the South Branch of the Bethlehem Area Public Library. That's the one over on Webster Street, Southside, on March 24th at 2 o'clock. So in addition to being a professional organizer, Colleen is known for embracing problem solving, espousing a minimalist approach to consumerism, and loving to invent new uses for old treasures. So we're excited to be having her as a guest at the library on the 24th, and I'm happy to have you here with me today, Colleen.
Thank you. I'm glad to join you.
And we're really glad to have you speaking at the library on the 24th. And I'm really curious about your resume and your line of work. And I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about sort of how you got started working in this field and being interested in sort of the minimalist lifestyle.
Well, I used to work in a corporate job, and one of the things that I didn't like about cubicle living was that I didn't really see the full product of the work that I was doing. And because I worked at a large corporation, we each do our own small part. And I became self-employed because I wanted to work one-on-one with my customers, with my clients. And one of my favorite things about organizing is there's always an aha moment that my clients have when things start to click for them. Usually things are sort of chaotic when I first arrive, and we're working through the problems together. But then at some point, things start to fall into place for my client. And it's not just the physical stuff taking shape. It's that glimmer in their eyes, that moment when they really start to get it. And I love seeing that firsthand and not just being part of a larger process where that happens so far downstream, I don't get to see it. And after 13 years, it's still magical for me. I still really enjoy that.
So you've been doing this work for 13 years?
Yeah, my 13th anniversary is this month, March.
And were you always sort of like naturally good at sort of taming the clutter that's in our lives? Or was it something that you yourself kind of struggled with?
Well, I'm sure my parents would tell you stories about my teenage bedroom. I always say there's two types of organizers, those who are naturally organized and those who have looked the monster in the eye and lived to tell. And I'm definitely in the second category.
Well, that's you can probably relate then to everybody.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Was there an aha moment for you? Like what sort of happened when you that set you off to think this is what I want to do this is what I have to offer people with my expertise on this?
Well, I remember saying to one of my coworkers, I used to work in technical communications. I worked in an IT department, and I used to call myself the nerd to English translator. So I would work with the technical teams to understand what they were doing and then put together communications for the end users in readable language. And I remember saying to one of my coworkers, what do you think? Do you think I could do this organizing thing? And his answer was, I've been watching you organize ideas and projects for years. And if you can handle the intangible, I have no doubt that you can do the tangible stuff. And with that, I attended a meeting of the National Association of Professional Organizers. Yes, we have a trade association. And I joined the Philadelphia chapter, and the rest is history.
It's fun to imagine those meetings.
Yeah, they're really well run.
I bet. They don't have any of the issues that other conferences have.
Yeah, their conferences and our chapter meetings are very well run.
Yeah, library meetings too. So the title of your talk that you'll be giving at the Southside Library on the 24th is called Simplify Your Life. So those who come to attend that session, what can they sort of expect to take away from it?
Well, I like to keep my sessions simple. Anybody can pick up a book or a magazine and read a whole bunch of tips about how to get organized or ways to do things, but our lives are unique. They're individual. And so one tip might work for one person, but not necessarily for another. And if you've ever had the experience of a friend saying to you, oh, I have this great app on my phone, it's solving all of my problems around a certain area, and then you try it and it doesn't necessarily work. I think we've all had that experience. And that's the same thing with any of those kind of lists of hints. So what I like to do is start with putting the workshop attendees through a bit of an exercise about connecting with themselves and their own priorities. And because it's once we know what our priorities are and what our end goal is, then it makes it so much easier to figure out how to achieve it. Then the rest of it is just details, and the details will just fall into place. So what we're going to talk about that day is, why do you want to organize? What benefits do you want? What functions do you want to improve? And I like people to focus on not just the practical, like I want to be able to find my keys when I'm leaving the house instead of running around, but also the more emotional. I want to feel relaxed when I'm cooking dinner. And so between both of those, the practical and the emotional, that gives us the roadmap of how we're going to do it. And then, like I said, the rest of it is just the mechanics of putting it into place.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think most of us could definitely benefit from some of that, or a lot of that, in our lives. I wonder what are some of the sort of common trends or most common issues that you see among your clients? Like, what if people come to you, the typical person who comes to you struggling with something, like what's top on their list?
Definitely simplicity. Definitely people are overwhelmed. My clients are definitely overwhelmed. They're looking to, I sometimes call myself an efficiency consultant more so than a professional organizer, because whether I'm working with a home or a business, my clients are looking for things to just be easier. Like the key example, they don't want it to be difficult to find their keys or difficult to find their phone before they leave the house. And So some of the things at a practical level, what I run into are business owners who are looking to minimize the amount of time that they spend at their desk doing administrative work, not repeating functions or not repeating tasks, doing it once and moving on. Sometimes I work with people who are in early retirement and they're looking to simplify and downsize, and they want to do that themselves when they can make the decisions, as opposed to later in life when their children or nieces or nephews might be making the decisions for them. We like to have that control in our lives. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I work with newly married couples who are blending households and trying to figure out which of the two toasters to keep. So it shows up in a variety of different ways. I have been working a lot more lately with people who are doing some of those later life transitions. And in retirement, I'm finding that people are not as interested in spending their time managing their stuff. They want to spend it visiting with their grandchildren or vacationing or working in the garden or volunteering or something like that, and spending too much time on housework or on the paper administration of their lives. That's just not how they want to spend their golden years.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that rings true from what I've observed. And do you find that there's somewhat of a generational divide? Like, there's are these kind of issues the same across the years? Or,
well, certainly individuals are individuals regardless of their age. But yeah, there definitely is such something of a trend. There was an article that was making the rounds on the internet in the last year about how millennials, the young adults, are not particularly interested in inheriting a lot of stuff from their parents and grandparents. And so older people are sometimes frustrated to find out that the things that they've been keeping and preserving all of these years are just not particularly valued by their children and their grandchildren. But millennials, by and large, are far more interested in collecting pictures and experiences and living a more electronic life, and not so much interested in the serving for 12 china from their grandmother, or the large dining room set or anything like that, because they're living a more mobile lifestyle. So another thing that I'm starting to see more is that kind of middle generation, the so-called Xers right now, which is really, that's my generation. It's a numerically a smaller generation. We're sort of sandwiched between the boomers and the millennials. But I get phone calls from them after they have helped parents or grandparents through end-of-life transitions. And they'll call me and say, you know, I don't want to leave the same kind of problems for my children. So I need to start downsizing and getting my affairs in order. And I need to understand what's going on with me financially so that I can write my will and do my power of attorney documentation. And So I can work through that with them and then refer them to a good attorney or financial planner so that they can do that. And sometimes with the boomers, I'm seeing that they like to curate their stuff, but a lot of them are also looking for experiences. And so for that reason, are looking to simplify and maybe downsize on their own. I have a few friends who are in that age group who have sold their, once the kids are grown, they sell their house, donate a bunch of books back to the library for the sale here and move into an apartment where they don't have to worry about maintenance and they have more time to spend with the grandkids.
Well, I think I read somewhere that there's been some studies that, that talk about how, as far as spending your money, like happy, as we all know, you can't buy happiness. And but that's more specifically true about things than experiences, right?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people, there's definitely a push towards buying experiences, that we get a lot more happiness from travel, for example, than buying more clothes.
Right. When I see the title Simplify Your Life, one of the things that pops into my head is my digital life. And I think about like, how you might have heard my phone buzz a couple times while I'm sitting here, and I have, you know, the work email accounts and home email accounts and the app for my son's Little League team and then social media accounts and all that stuff. So is that something that people come to you with and say,
oh, goodness,
I'm struggling with this? Yeah.
That can totally overwhelm. I bought a new phone recently, and when I looked to see how many apps I had installed, I'm just ashamed of the number. and then there were, of course, more that I had tried and had discarded because they weren't working for me, or maybe had installed just for a short time, maybe because I was going on a trip or whatever. And so I had the airlines app in so that I could do the ticket and that I didn't need it afterwards. But yeah, there are so many discrete ways of doing that kind of organizing. And it's great that we basically have a computer in our pockets. Mm-hmm. And if you get lost somewhere, you can call up a map and find out where you are. If you need a restaurant, you can do that. If you want, just everything, the world is at our fingertips. But then we have the responsibility of the world at our fingertips. So yes, you heard my phone ring earlier. Well, hopefully we'll cut that out. Heard my phone ring earlier, and there was a time if we just had office phones, well, that would have just been ringing in my office a mile away from here, and we wouldn't have heard it. I do have a few favorite apps that I like to use to manage information in general. I recommend, again, simplicity is your friend. Don't have a million different places to look for things. I use Evernote for a lot of the information that I need to get to on the fly. I have a lot of resources for my clients, so if I need to send something to them, I can just hop on the phone and forward it to them. It's all in one place.
Is that a free app or is that a paid app?
It is a free app. There is a paid version, but for most of us, the free app is just fine. It allows, I forget, something like 30 megabytes a month that you can upload into it. It's cloud-based, which means once you upload any information, you can get to it from your phone, from your computer, from your tablet, whatever. And I have everything from favorite brands of clothing that I like to, you know, pictures of wine bottle labels to resources that I frequently recommend to my clients. I've now gotten to the point that when I go to my chapter meetings for the National Association of Professional Organizers or to my writers group, the Greater Lehigh Valley Writers Group, and I'm taking notes, I do it with a Bluetooth keyboard directly into my phone in Evernote, so it's all right there. So that has helped me. Financially, it's great if you can get off of the mailing lists for credit cards and also for your providers, get electronic bills, have a separate file set up for that. But yeah, in short, I'm seeing a lot more that people are, you know, we were sold this idea that electronic organizing was going to help us tame the paper tiger.
Yeah.
And it did to a certain extent, but then now we've got all of these bits and bytes floating all over the place.
Right. And yeah, when you talk about it's not just the physical stuff, but it's like the mental weight of it. Like knowing you have 99 emails to get to and like.
Only 99 well, doing well.
Yeah, right? That's as many as I can see at once. So
right.
It might be more. Who knows? And it doesn't make a physical mess, although we all have, many of us have plenty of that too. But yeah, that sort of peace of mind, I think, is what people are after ultimately, right? Not
yes.
necessarily just make my room look nice, but like peace of mind. Like
it's peace of mind. And you're right. And the electronic, it's really easy to let electronic clutter get away from us because we think it doesn't take up any space, but it takes up a lot of mental space. It really does.
Sure.
And And I had the experience recently. I was working with a financial organizer, and he and I are thinking about doing some marketing endeavors together. And so we were sitting at my computer, and before I packed up my computer to take it to the meeting, I looked at my desktop, and it had what I call desktop measles. That is, everything was saved to the desktop. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm an organizer. I can't go to the meeting like this. And so I quick cleaned up my desktop measles, got it down to about half the volume that it was, so that when I turned on my computer in the meeting, you wouldn't be looking at it going, oh my goodness, this is the person I'm partnering with. So we all have that problem. We talked a little bit about inbox zero, the idea of getting to the point where in your email, there's nothing there. You open it up and it's just blank. And I don't think I know anybody who has ever achieved that for more than a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I was saying my colleague and the assistant director in the office next door sometimes will brag about achieving inbox zero. So then I just start sending her a bunch of
just send her
pictures.
Email.
Just be like, shut up, you can't have that.
You can't, that doesn't count. But yeah, even when I've legitimately tried to do it, the way you clean up an inbox, of course, is to respond to the request. But as soon as you respond to the request, what happens? The other people start responding back. So I've never been there for more than a couple of minutes. I'm not a big proponent of perfectionism in organizing. I like to think of it as completion rather than perfection. And completion to me is if I've gotten the inbox to the point where the conversations are current, you know, there's nothing that's lagging from 3 months ago. I've dealt with it in one way or another. And usually that means I've achieved what I call no scroll inbox. That is, I can see all of the messages without scrolling. And I think that's a reasonable level of excellence without driving myself crazy in search of perfection.
Yeah, because that could probably be its own kind of mental weight.
If it's
not perfect, then it's not, then you can't relax.
And perfectionism is absolutely an obstacle to organizing. A lot of people fall into the trap of thinking that if it's not perfect, it's not worth doing. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us from trying. And really, if we can get, you know, if you're familiar with the 80-20 rule, the idea that 80% of things are kind of easy and predictable and 20% is just weird and out there, 80% of organizing is fairly easy to achieve and can get us an enormous benefit. And so I tell my clients, let's shoot for that B- average. If we can just hit that low 80 thing, we're doing really well. And that really helps us let go of the idea of perfectionism and start embracing just excellence or completion and not worrying about that those last few percentage points that get us to that elusive perfect. The reality is our lives change. And as soon as you get something in a really good state, something in your life is going to change and it's not going to quite work. That's just the way it is. So let go of it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really a mental approach as much as, if not more than, like a physical, like,
absolutely,
by get this organizing kit or box or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's more about sort of, and I imagine, like, I don't know if you can answer this question, but like, what benefits do people get, like, once they've gone through this process? Like, what do they say to you kind of like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months in, like, how their lives have gotten better?
That's a really good question. And a lot of it gets back to what you were saying earlier about that mental weight. That starts to lift, and I'll see things. The changes that I see in my clients are certainly increased productivity and efficiency. That's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Everything just becomes easier. It takes 2 minutes to get out the door, not 10 minutes to get out the door, things like that. But that emotional weight, that mental weight is lifted. And so things like creativity start surfacing. And I've even had clients go on to lose weight because it seems to unlock something. I hate to use too much woo-woo language around this because I don't really understand what's happening.
I've
but I've seen
before,
it enough that to know that. Yeah, and some of it's very mechanical. Financial, getting some amount of financial control often comes out of it. And that's because clutter or the stuff that we own and money and calories are all a matter of resource in and resource out and managing that so that we don't have an imbalance. You know, if you're spending more than you're earning or if you're eating more than you're burning or acquiring more than you're donating, then obviously you're going to end up in an imbalance situation. And so it's not surprising to me at a mechanical level that people who have organized will then lose weight and get some control over their finances. But I also think there is kind of an emotional or a spiritual component of that. And some of it could just be after having been successful in one field, it's easier to go on and be successful somewhere else. Like, hey, look at me. I can do this now.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have mentioned the subtitle of your talk is Organize, Reclaim, and Emerge. Mm-hmm. So those are pretty good themes that sort of explain how it's not just organizing your stuff, but it's reclaiming your life and sort of becoming a sort of a better self, I guess. And again, the main title is Simplify Your Life. The date is March 24th, 2 o'clock at the South Branch of the Bethlehem Area Public Library. And again, this is Colleen Warmingham joining me at the library podcast and joining me in my office today. And I thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. This is great. This was fun. Thank you.
I think I definitely need to attend.
Well, I look forward to seeing you and everyone else there that day. We'll have fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.